by sinners. Eddie and Hayden are not qualified, are not pastors, but they have a passion for Christ and his teachings. Welcome everyone to The Obedience.
Welcome to Theolidiots, our inaugural episode. This is Biblical Conversations for Sinners by Sinners. I am your host, Eddie Switek, my co-host, Hayden Cobley.
Hello.
Hello, everybody out there. Welcome. It is Sunday.
It is Sunday.
Yeah, but it's later in the day, so we have cracked our first beers and ciders.
Yes, we have indeed.
Yeah. So this was a fun idea that Hayden and I had, where, you know, we've come to faith more recently in recent years, and we're getting, hang on, folks. And we're back. All right. Sorry. I had the dryer running. I forgot to turn it off beforehand. Cause again, we're idiots. So
gotta have dry clothes.
Yeah. Yeah. We're down here in the basement bar, newly built. This
Very
is the
nice.
first show out of the 989 network that's done here at the basement bar where we're taking its virginity.
We're taking the virginity of the basement bar.
Yeah.
Yep.
No. Yeah. We had Hayden and I were in a golf league. This past year, we had a lot of great biblical conversations. A lot of
I think that's the only good thing we had.
Our game was awful, but the conversations were great, and just diving deep and you know, having questions about different stories and different parts in scripture and the gospel and trying to apply it to our lives. And I was like, man, you know, Hayden said, we talk about this stuff anyway. Like, why don't we record it and maybe it'll help somebody along the way, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Our whole thing is at least for me, is growing up, we didn't really go to church. The only times I went to church were funerals or weddings. And so I just learned the phrases and the words and stuff through there, just to make, because you always feel bad when you're the only person in church and you don't know what you're supposed to, your expectations or what you're supposed to say or anything.
Exactly. Yeah. I always felt out of place and kind of judged, you know, but I was a little kid. I didn't know anything and I felt awkward, you know. I was like, what are those people doing?
Yeah. And it wasn't until later in life, only a few years ago, that something clicked and I started to really dive deep more into it, and that's kind of where we came today, and just learning more. So we are not qualified. We are not pastors. We do not have theological degrees. We just have a passion for Christ and his teachings, and we regularly read our Bible and attend church and just try to soak up as much as we can. So welcome on our journey to faith.
Welcome to the show. Some of the things we're going to say probably are going to touch some hearts, and some of them are probably going to touch some nerves as well. But we're going to speak the truth, and we're going to speak the truth only. So that's our goal here. And we just want everybody to be able to share the word of the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
So but let's, you were talking about how you came to faith a couple years ago. Can we hear about that? I'm curious.
Yeah. So, after I was 18 into college, I started just researching into every religion, into Buddhism, Hinduism, and even Satanism, not the LaVeyan 60s version, but more like an earthy, like type weird,
nature Satanist.
Yeah. I had a few friends that were very, I would have called them Bible thumpers. They were, you know, very this is their it, life and their whole thing. And like, you know, now I get it, but that threw me off so much, even more so. You know, and they're trying to preach the word to me, and they're trying to, you know, explain, like, no, this is what Jesus said, and this is this. But it came off very pious, very righteous, you know, you're a terrible person, and you should feel terrible about it.
It's such hard line to walk, you know? It really is. When you're trying to tell somebody about the Gospels and explain to them what they're doing is kind of wrong and sinful, a lot of people will take it as, oh, you're insulting me, or you're saying you're better than me, and you know, that's a hard line to walk. It really is.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's, you know, it's off-putting. It sucks. You don't want to hear that. And there was never any practical advice. It was, just, you know, and I was so far removed.
So we need to do it.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, and it's 2000 plus years ago and it's all this, like, none of this relates to me now. Yeah. Why would I care? And my wife is very religious. She grew up Lutheran, and her family was very active in the church. Her father was an elder, and she was always trying to push me more toward God. And the more she did, the more belligerent I became.
Mm-hmm.
And I was, you know, I called her shit fairy tales, and this is, you know, like all the everything, and it made me angry. And there was, you know, this hole still in my heart, and it just started filling up darker. And that is a whole, I'll get into that, but, well, yeah. So I've done a lot of terrible things. I've been, I've not been the nicest person to people.
Which is very hard for me to believe, because I met you after you came to Jesus, and the nice things you say to me and the nice things you do, I'm like, I cannot imagine you being the person that you're describing. But anyway, continue.
Oh, I appreciate it. Yeah, but I did a lot of, you know, I still drink a lot, but there was a lot of drugs, a lot of sex, a lot of philandering. I mean, it was...
What a funny word.
Yeah, yeah. It was not good. And I hurt a lot of people, and I very much apologize to everybody that I had hurt, but it was this hole like inside of me that I was trying to fill with drugs and sex and alcohol and everything. It's just, and it never got full. And one day, one of my friends, Marcus Morgan, very, very good friend of mine.
Pastor Marcus?
Yeah. He's a pastor now. He's awesome. He was not a pastor then. He was still going to school.
And you guys were working at a Clean Cigarette.
Yeah. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah. He was the manager there at Essexville. And him and I would be in the store and talk, and he would, you know, he never pushed it on me. But every once in a while, he'd be like, hey, man, like, you're having this issue. Why don't you read this? Or why don't you do...
Excuse me.
Good push. So the one day he was like, hey, you know, you've been listening to a lot of podcasts and you've been, you know, trying to better yourself. He's like, there's a podcast I want you to listen to called Your Move by Andy Stanley.
Andy Stanley.
Yeah, and I was like, oh, okay, all right. So then I started listening to Andy Stanley's Your Move podcast, and holy crap, this was the first person who had ever taken biblical principles and the words of the scripture and made it practical. Like, this is what Jesus said, and here's how you should actually apply it in your life.
Mm-hmm.
And like, you know, everybody, he wasn't holier than thou. He wasn't better than anybody. He wasn't trying to, you know, wasn't telling everybody they're awful.
Yeah, he didn't put himself on a pedestal.
Yeah.
I feel like a lot of preachers tend to do that. They tend to put themselves and their family up higher than the congregation, which is not true. I mean, and it's a hard thing to level yourself with the congregation as well, to make yourself equal to that congregation, because you are essentially putting yourself at a higher position. But anyway, that was a side note.
Yeah, absolutely. So this was, you know, it finally, these teachings started to sink in, and I was like, oh, all right, well, maybe I'll start going to church and see if it correlates. And I started joining Tiffany and going to church. And,
a Lutheran church, right?
Yeah. Yep. Lutheran. And I like the pastor had explained, I don't want to offend anybody, but this made a lot of sense the more I studied into it, was that he's like, you have let's put this line here. And I know you can't see me, but let's imagine a straight line. And he's like, this is orthodoxy. This is literally the word.
Exactly the word
of God and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, Catholicism kind of veers off that line, and baptism veers off, and there's all these everything. He's like, Lutheranism veers off a little bit. He's like, but out of all the denominations, it's kind of closest to orthodoxy because of 1517 and the whole Martin Luther going after the church and being like, no, you don't need to. Anyway, that's a whole other podcast.
Let's get back to what Jesus said.
Yeah. And that was really what it was. So I was like, okay, so I said that I feel like I'm in the right place then, because this is, again, as close to the actual teachings of Jesus as you can get.
You want to get the right teachings. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's why I stuck with that and learned more of that. And my mom said I was baptized Lutheran, and even though we didn't go to church, that was when I was a child.
Yeah, you were baptized but didn't remember it.
Yeah,
yeah, yep. Which is like the exact opposite of what baptism is supposed to be.
And that's another show. that's actually, I was listening to and reading something today too that I thought about for a new show, but that's a whole topic that I would like to get into.
Baptism?
Yeah.
That's awesome. I haven't been baptized yet. So no? Yeah, I'm my church does it twice a year, and last time it came up, I was scared, so I didn't do it.
So, fair enough.
Yep, I wasn't ready. But now I'm ready. So next time they do it, I will do it. But I was baptized as a baby, though, in the Catholic Church.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. 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 So I, you know, and there's, like you said, I went to catechism, and I actually went through the whole catechism in the class, and
oh, well, good for you.
Yeah, learned everything.
That was probably a huge step through. For you.
Yeah, it was wild. That was 2019. So 2017 is Marcus showing me Andy Stanley.
Yeah.
So then I start going to church and reading scripture every night. I've read the Bible. My oh my God. U version.
Oh, yeah, U version. Jeez. Yep, I love that.
Jesus,
app. Yep.
Yeah.
I use it. It's like you can use it as an audiobook for the Bible, too.
Yeah.
And I use that a lot.
Yeah, yep. Yeah. I like that. I've read it every night since 2017.
Really?
I think there's only a couple days I've missed.
Wow, good for you.
Yeah, that's cool. I like they give you all the badges and stuff. Uh-huh. Like, it's almost, they gamify it.
Yeah, so
it makes you in my ADHD brain, it makes me like my OCD. I have to finish this.
That's our generation, man. It's like Duolingo. Oh, yeah. You don't want to lose your 30-day streak.
Yeah. Yep, I'm on a 178-day streak of German as well. So.
Oh, wow, good for you. Yeah.
Nice. And I've been studying Hebrew and Greek to be able to read the manuscripts.
That's really cool.
A goal of mine one day.
I've been meaning to talk to Smeegs' Aunt Arlene because
she did that. Yeah,
she knows Hebrew, and Smeegs said that I would be amazed with her Bible because it's like filled with everything, all this stuff. And I'm like, okay.
Well, and that's part of the actual seminary. Like when you go to seminary, that's your first year is you need to learn Hebrew and Greek so that you can actually learn the real manuscript and what was actually said.
Yeah, so in Lutheranism, you have a priest, right? Or
is pastor.
It pastor.
Priest, okay. Priests are Catholic.
Because I was looking into some things, and a lot of places you don't need necessarily to learn Hebrew for certain denominations, you know. But for they were talking about Lutheranism, and I think Catholicism is Greek or something like that. I'm not sure, but
well, Hebrew you need to learn for the Old Testament. Yep. Greek is the New Testament.
Yep. And but I was like, because that was one thing that drew me away from it mainly, because I was like, dude, I don't know if I can learn Hebrew. Like, are you kidding me? Like, yeah. I was when I was overseas, I spent maybe a month trying to learn just a couple Arabic phrases, and I'd see squiggles on signs, and I'd be like, I know what that squiggle means, but trust me, I don't know what that squiggle means. That squiggle can mean this, 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 and this, and this, and this. And if I get it wrong, like, some of those things are polar opposites.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, yeah, I don't know. That's a very daunting thing, is learning Hebrew, but...
Yeah, it is. It's very, but I'm like, man, if you know, every Jewish kid before they're 12 can learn the Torah and learn these things, I was like, I can do it. So,
can I get
a beverage? Sorry. So that was kind of my entry into faith, and ever since going through the catechism, getting confirmed.
Do you have a tap on your fridge?
I don't, but what I do have,
because I see you have the cooling system inside of your fridge.
I know I have I converted the fridge into a kegerator. I just don't have a keg in there right now. There we go.
Oh, very cool. Thank you.
Yeah.
Anyway, you were saying, so that was your faith.
Yeah, that was my faith journey, and. Ever since then, I've wanted to study more, and I listened to different podcasts and the Bible Project on YouTube. I enjoy
the Bible Project. I've heard of that.
Yeah, that Aunt Marcus actually had told me about that one too. They dive deeper into Scripture, and they've gotten much fancier now with videos and everything. And, but Ringside Preachers is a great one as well. And I would love to to go to seminary, to learn this, to actually do everything, but that's not, I don't want to do that as my job. I just want the knowledge. And so, I don't want to pay all, you know what I mean? Like, all that money, but I want to be able to have the knowledge.
That, so that, So I'm considering going to like a Bible college this fall. And
heck yeah.
My wife and I are talking about it seriously, and it's not, I don't want to be the pastor. You know, I don't want to be the guy on stage telling everybody, teaching everybody, but I want to be someone in the church that people can look to that says, hey, this guy has some knowledge and he knows a lot about the scriptures that maybe he can decipher some certain things that I'm having some trouble with. And that's really what I want to get out of it. And I guess if I had to pay for it, I don't know if I would still do it because I don't have to pay for it because the Army GI Bill and all the benefits I get for being a veteran. But
yeah.
If I had to pay for it, I don't know if that is something God has truly called me to, you know? So I don't know. That's a tough thing because it's very hard to understand if what I'm doing is something that is God's plan or my plan, you know?
And I
struggle with that quite often, you know? But I don't know. So I figure, hey, I'll just send it and God will tell me. He'll let me know.
Yeah.
You know, he'll say, hey, this ain't really it for you, you know, because I'm not the best at public speaking. So I know that getting up on stage ain't for me. You know, I did musicals and stuff like that in high school, but I can't fly off the seat of my pants. You know,
it's daunting. Most people say they're more afraid of public speaking than death. So,
yeah, I mean, I could see some people saying that. And the thing that makes pastoring so daunting, I think, is people are looking at you. You have a room full of people looking at you for literally life advice. Hey, I want to live my life more like Jesus. This guy knows how to do it. So,
yeah.
I mean, pastors aren't necessarily experts, but they're people who have studied the Bible a lot more than your average American, you know?
Yeah.
So that's a daunting thing. It's like, what if you say the wrong thing? You know, like our pastor was before the election, he was getting into it before the election, going in about the church and the state and stuff like that, and essentially told us who to vote for without saying who to vote for, you know? And don't get me wrong, like there was an obvious choice when it comes to the church, but that blew my mind. Like, and people got up and left the church when he was talking about this.
Oh, really?
And
I mean,
that's where like he said something that like really resonated with me. And I think I even like quoted him. I guess I didn't really quote him, but at the beginning of this podcast, I said he said during the church and the state sermons that he's like, I don't care how mad people get or anything like that. I'm going to tell you the truth, no matter what. And that's really all that it's about, you know.
I like that. Yeah, our pastor, Pastor Matthias and Schultz, both of them are, there's so much like confidence that's not arrogance.
Mm-hmm.
And that is like, that's something that I would love to achieve one day. Just have an utter confidence in who you are and what you believe and what you're going for, but you're not coming off arrogant. Mm-hmm. And so when they preach, like the words resonate so much more because
you want to
really
listen to them.
Yeah. And you really mm-hmm. feel like, oh, he's really just trying to benefit me. Like
To be a good pastor, you have to be somebody who, when somebody looks at you, they go, or when somebody hears you teach or talk, they go, wow, I want to like have a coffee with that. I want to invite him over to dinner, you know, like I want to be friends with him, you know? Like,
yeah. Yeah.
And like, that's how you need to be as a pastor, you know? And, me growing up, I was not like that. I was very mean, you know, very mean person. And yeah, I don't, you know, I wasn't the nicest person growing up, you know? And I mean, the Army didn't help that at all either, but
the grunt speak
was swearing. I mean, I still swear quite often, but I got back from Syria and I could not stop. It was like every other word was the F word. And like, I was like, my wife was like, dude, you have a problem. I was like, I know, but I don't fucking care.
It's so ingrained in us. And that's the struggle is sin, the separation of God. Mm-hmm. And you're constantly trying to avoid it and repent and come back. And it is, I think,
it's a very vicious cycle.
You know, I've tried to stop addictions and I've stopped a few, and like, I feel like that is parallel to trying to stop an addiction, is trying to get closer to God.
Oh, yeah.
It's that same kind of struggle. And that's what, you know, that's why we're here. That's why we're talking, at least bringing it forefront and trying to flesh out ideas and say what's on our mind. And yeah, I like it. What was your, how did you come to faith?
Well, growing up, I was forced into the Catholic faith growing up. My grandmother was very, if you're not Catholic, you're going to hell kind of woman. Still is. Yep. Still is. Love her, but she's still like that. And I was forced into like religion classes and stuff like that at a very young age, and I hated it. Every kid does, you know. But it wasn't so much I hated God or anything like that, or I hated the fact that it was pushed on me. It was more that it was, in the time of my growing up in the early 2000s, it was awkward, to say the least. Like, if I couldn't pray over my food in school or anything like that because people would make fun of you, or they would be like, oh, I don't want to hang out with that kid, he's kind of weird, you know? So I felt kind of awkward. I felt awkward praying, you know, and yeah, stuff like that. And then over time, it kind of just stopped. By the time I was in middle school, I would say, I just kind of stopped thinking about God or anything like that in general, and I just kind of didn't believe in anything. And then throughout high school, I got, you know, and mixed up in drugs and all and stupid stuff, and I started to not resent God, but resented people who worship God. Like, oh, you think you're better than us, blah, 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 you know? And then fast forward a couple years, go through college, and life's kind of taking a shit, and I decided to go join the Army. So I joined the Army. And my basic training, I decided I'm going to try to go back to church during basic. So I went to the Catholic service at basic training, and they're reading out the King James Version. And I'm like, what is this gibberish? I'm like, I don't understand a thing that is coming out of your mouth. And, you know, yeah, I'm in the services falling asleep, and the drill sergeant's pounding on my table, waking me up, you know, and wake up, you're in church. I'm like, exactly, let me sleep. but I, you know, and so, you know, and I read the Bible. I read the King James Version Bible at basic, and it was, I didn't understand any of it. You know,
yeah, that's hard.
But yes, I held like prayers at before bed and stuff like that in our barracks over at basic training for all the other trainees and stuff like that. And I really thought that I was coming to faith. And then I got out of basic training and I just totally dropped it, just forgot about it, you know? And then I turned to paganism. And I was
That's right. I remember you told me, you were like, oh, I officially changed my religion on the actual like Army doctrine. Yeah. You're like, and I learned Norse.
Yeah. I learned Norwegian. I started really diving into the Norse paganism, and I was really, really into it. And it wasn't mainly, I didn't really believe in all the fairy tales about it. It was more, I really liked the principles of how to live your life and stuff like that. And then I deployed to Syria in 2022, and I came home in 2024, and I was really rough down, really beat down. You know, I did a lot of bad stuff over there, and I had bad PTSD, and I was, you know, I didn't know what else to do. I was losing my mind. I was going to kill myself. And I just remember, I didn't know, you know, what's the last, the coined line in every movie when everything's gone wrong, right? And there's nothing else they can do. What do they say? They say, well, I guess only left to do now is pray. That's what they say. So I was at the end of my wits, and I was like, well, you know, I can't really fucking kill myself without trying to pray at least, you know? So I went out in the garage, and I went on my knees, and I prayed, and I begged, and I begged for forgiveness and stuff like that. And I mean, I don't know if I'm crazy or what, but I heard the faintest voice in my head say, stand up, I'm with you. And I lost it. I just started crying. I lost my mind. And ever since then, I was like, I need to take this seriously. I need to get back to church. I need to get back to Jesus. So I came in the house, and I was like, came to my wife. She'll tell you, I was like, I'm saved. Oh my God. You know, and I'm losing my mind. And she's like, what is happening? And so, so then that Sunday we went to Radiant Church, and it's a non-denominational church. And we went in, they're singing songs and stuff. And I was like, what is going on? And people got their hands up. I'm like, whatever, you know, I'm sitting there bopping. And I didn't really like the music at first, the beginning, you know, because some people are really getting into it.
Yeah.
You know,
that's another topic. Mm-hmm. The contemporary music.
Yeah. They get really into it. And it's very charismatic. Like some people, like I had a woman one time at one of the services, like, She must've been filled with the Holy Spirit, because she came up to me, she came up next to me, no shoes, and dropped down to her knees and was like praying to Mecca. It looked like, but she's praying to Jesus, obviously. But I was like, well, she's filled with it. But the message that Pastor Marco puts forward and the teachings he does really, really hit me. And it really spoke to me. And I,
heck yeah,
you know, there was days, weeks in a row where I was bawling my eyes out in church because it felt like my whole world was coming around me, but I knew I was going to be okay. And the emotion of knowing I was going to be okay was so overwhelming. I didn't know what to do with myself, you know? And, but yeah, I mean, that was my real, I've only known Jesus for less than a year. It was February 2nd. That's really
today.
Weird. Today.
It's 1 year. Holy
crap.
That
is really weird.
Wow.
That is really weird.
Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. Happy Groundhog Day.
Oh, is it Groundhog Day?
Wow, yeah. Hopefully Punxsutawney doesn't see a shadow and we can end this freaking winter.
Yeah. That'd be nice. That's crazy.
That,
exactly,
yeah,
a year.
One day or 1 year, yeah.
Wow. Yeah, I came to Jesus a year ago today. That is wild.
That's like that show, the Sean Ryan. Yeah, yeah, that episode with Father...
he's talking about the Feast of the Saints. Or,
yeah, yep. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Father Dan Rahill. Yeah.
Yeah, Dan, yeah.
That was a really good... That's a really good podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that a lot. But yeah, that's crazy. Holy crap, a year ago.
See?
Yeah.
There are no coincidences.
There is no coincidences.
It's really wild just how God works that...
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, I have chills. That literally, I didn't realize that. That's awesome.
That's crazy. Yeah. Yep. So this podcast is the 1 year anniversary of Hayden's coming to Jesus. But yeah, and then ever since then, I've just kind of tried to enhance my faith and get closer to Jesus and live more like Jesus. And it's hard.
It's hard. There's only one perfect person ever, and that was Jesus. And like, there's no way we're ever going to be perfect. No. But I feel like as long as we're trying, and we're, you know, genuinely repenting, forgiving ourselves first, mm-hmm. and then forgiving everybody, like that has helped me a lot.
Yeah.
Just constantly try to be patient and forgive.
Mm-hmm. Having a lot of empathy. I've been doing that, like trying to. I heard, you know who George Janko is?
I do not.
So he's a Christian podcaster as well. But he described it really well as, so he was at like a pride rally or something like that. And these people were being very obscene and very sinful and like yelling all these things to him or whatever. And he was really mad, you know, at these people and kind of judging them, you know, but then he kind of sat back and thing. He's like, I'm no judge. You know, I can't judge these people.
Yeah.
And he said, but I am curious to why these people are like this, why they're doing this. So he went in anyway, just picked one person. He said, hey, like, tell me your story. And they told him their story. And he said it was beautiful. Like the person, like the thing that happened to this person was so horrible that he understood what drove this person to do the things and act the way they're acting, you know, like, and like this guy who was, he was dressed as a woman and saying he was a woman. And, he was molested multiple times by his father and his uncle when he was a kid and like handed off to relatives so they could have their way with them, you know.
Holy
like,
cow.
Yeah. So he had a horrible upbringing and didn't know that wasn't okay, you know, because that was his life as a child. And he didn't realize until he was in high school that just wasn't okay. And by that time, like, he was like already just destroyed mentally.
Yeah, formative years, man.
So, you know, it's the sin of the parents trickled onto the child in that one. But they, you know, and at the end of the conversation, I mean, he ended up being saved, you know, like, so that's really awesome.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, and I believe a lot of, like, everything happens for a reason, you know, and like me coming home from war and having those issues, I would have never came to Jesus if I didn't have those issues. You know, I mean, maybe I would have later in life.
Yeah.
But not...
It's always the darkest before the dawn.
Exactly.
Man. That's wild.
I always wonder that, why people have to go through horrible, horrible things in order to get closer to Jesus. Like, it's the people who have had the worst lives or the worst things happen to them who have the best faith, it seems like. Not always, but...
Well, I think because that's who Jesus went to first.
Mm-hmm.
It was...
Those people he used.
The sinners and the tax collectors and all the, you know, the people that society had cast aside and was...
Yeah.
Had wanted nothing to do with. And so, you know, that's why he started there because...
That's true, yeah. I just remembered a verse. I don't exactly remember which gospel it's from, but Jesus said, it's easier for a camel to go through an eye of a needle than it is for a rich man to get into heaven. Because when you have all these everything, it's hard to just have full love and for Jesus, you know? when you have nothing and you're at your wit's end, it's a lot easier to hand it over, you know, and say, I give you everything, you know. And then all of a sudden you're surprised when he takes everything and you're like, oh, you were serious. Mm-hmm. You are going to help me. Whoa.
Yeah.
You know, like, and that, like, that's awesome, you know? And yeah, I feel like you almost have to be, you have to be born again. I mean, it says that in the Bible, you have to be born again, but that's where a lot of denominations clash, is the born againness. I feel like, cause the baptizing, we go back to baptism, as a baby, you know, that, you can't, you're telling me this infant can fully accept Jesus Christ in their heart, soul, and mind when they can't even say a word, you know?
Like, I didn't go back and read it, but I had asked, when I first started going to church, I had asked pastor about that. Excuse me. And he's like, it's a long conversation. He's like, but let me send you some articles and the scripture and where it is. He's like, but essentially it's, you know, everybody, because you can't confess it yourself, everybody in the congregation is confessing for you to help you. And then as you go through, so you're baptized, and by the cleansing of the water washes the original sin out. Mm-hmm. And then as you grow older and, you know, your brain is developed and now you can actually know between right and wrong, that's where you become confirmed in the faith.
So that's your second, so that's born againness.
That's the born againness. And so the catechism, the going through catechism and getting confirmed in faith is the born again of you are accepting.
Okay. That makes sense.
And so that's, and I probably butchered it because I don't exactly remember what he said, but that was my understanding of it. And I was like, oh, okay. So that makes sense. So I was baptized.
That's like your first communion for Catholic Church.
Yeah. Okay. First communion. Yeah. Your confirmation, your first communion. Okay. That is you like taking that on yourself. And now because you know between right and wrong, you're old enough to make your own know what I mean?
Wow. Yeah. That's crazy. I remember my first communion and that was not what I was thinking during my first communion.
Yeah. But that's the symbolism and the meaning behind it. And so even though I was baptized as a child, I did it again through the confirmation and pastor had the water. We didn't do a full like submerge
he just touched you. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, and I said in front of 400 people, like, I believe Jesus, I accept this into my heart. Yep. I repent of my sins. And yeah,
that's what it's all about. That's really what baptism is a full profession for a love for Jesus. Yeah.
Yeah. And that, like a public, whole public space, even though Jesus said you should, you know, pray in private, you're not, but
the baptism is different.
Yep. You know, John in the River Jordan baptizing everybody and that public display of like, you know, I accept Jesus, but I'm not going to flaunt it. It's just, I'm professing it.
Yeah, exactly. Like I love Jesus and this is me professing it. That's all I'm doing. Yeah. I'm just letting everybody know I love Jesus.
Yeah. And I mean, that's one of the hardest parts I have is like, and I've gotten much better at it over the past few months, but you know, if ever I'm, when I was in the car and I'm listening to a Christian podcast or something and I'm roll up next to somebody, I turn it down. Cause like, you feel like ashamed that you know, when you have that, you're like, I don't want to impose my beliefs on anybody. But at the same time, Matthew, what is it, 28:18-22, something to that effect.
Let's see.
Is go and make disciples of the nation. Oh, yep. I know. Proclaim my word. Yep. And go, It's something to that effect. And you're so like, you're supposed to pray in private and you know, and do all these things. But then
we're
like,
also supposed to evangelize.
It's the evangelization that like gets me. It's like, I want to help people, but it's the same with sales. Like I'm really good at sales, but I hate it because I hate going out and trying to convince somebody to buy something.
Yeah.
And so that bugs me. But if you came to me and you're like, hey man, I have questions, I'll talk your ear off.
That's what I'm saying. Yep.
And that's where we came to. And that's why we're doing this show. It's like, you know, if you like ketchup, here's some ketchup for you. If you don't like ketchup, all right, that's cool. You don't have to listen to this.
Exactly. Yeah. I listen to a lot of Christian music as well. And I listen to it loud.
Yeah.
Excuse me. And I used to do the same thing. I would pull up and if somebody was next to me, I'd be like, oh, I don't want them to hear my Christian music.
You
know? Like, what, you know? But now I'm like, well, you know, when I got my Christian music playing, I'm smiling. I'm happy. I'm enjoying. I'm in God's presence. You know, I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. I'm happy, and I'm always singing along. You know, and I'm always smiling. And I thought to myself, man, if I saw somebody like that and I was having a shit day, there's two ways I can look at it. Man, screw that dude for being so happy. Or, man, I want to be as happy as that guy.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And then you put two and two together. I want to be as happy as that guy. Oh, he's listening to Christian music. Hey, maybe I'll talk to God a little bit. Maybe I'll do something about it or whatever. You know? So maybe it can light that spark in somebody to maybe say, oh, well, I haven't prayed in a while. Maybe I'll pray. You know? Or maybe they haven't heard of Jesus and they see me so happy singing about Jesus and they're like, who's this Jesus guy? You know? And, yeah. You know, and they're like, there's no experts in the faith at all, but you're never too old to learn. You know, like I'm no teacher by any means, but I got an opportunity to teach a 76-year-old man the other day who has been in the faith his whole life, but he was talking and he said there's a verse that really scares him, saying that actually this will segue perfectly into talking about works, our works. So he said there's a verse that really scares him. I don't know exactly where it's at, but Jesus says there will be many that come to me in the day of reckoning or whatever it is, where during the resurrection, saying like, Lord, we professed in your name, we've performed miracles in your name, we've prophesied in your name, and Jesus will say, truly, I don't know you. Like, who are you? Because these people didn't have a relationship with Jesus. And he said that verse to me, and I could tell that it really bothered him. And I said, hey man, like, think about it this way. So, like, look at here. I'll pull up something right now. Let's see. So,
I love that Hayden. So, and that's probably something I should do. But Hayden brought a physical Bible with him, and he's got note tags and everything out. And I love it.
So, let's see. I got 18:3 marked here, which says, "Truly, this is when Jesus is the causing others to stumble." No, that's not the best one. But essentially, there's a lot of verses that say that your works do not define you going to heaven and do not define you, like, your place in heaven. Your works don't define you at all. Your faith in Jesus is what defines you. John 3:16, that's a perfect one for this.
Most famous verse.
Yeah. Very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they're born again. And born again, as we were just talking about, that is proclaiming your faith and your love for Jesus. And a lot of people put that together with their works. There was one, another one about that James that essentially says, in the book of James, it essentially says that your works and your faith work together. You cannot have your works without your faith. You cannot have the faith without the works, because if you have faith, you're going to be compelled to do these works. If you do these works, you can do the works without the faith, but you can't do the faith without the works. It's kind of like you can take a dump, but you can't take a dump without peeing, but you can pee without taking the dump. That's a really horrible analogy for this.
Yeah, but it makes sense.
Yeah, yeah. So you have faith in Jesus and you love Jesus. You're going to put that effort forth and you're going to do those works. And you're going to live more like Jesus and try to be better. If you are a hypocrite, like the Pharisees in the Bible and the Sadducees, and you simply don't want to look good to people, you're going to do all these works, but you're not going to have faith in Jesus, and you're not going to go to heaven. You know, you might say you believe all you want, but that's how it is. You know, and so you can't...
The relationship, having the personal relationship.
Exactly. And that was...
See, that... Sorry.
So, go ahead. That's just a hard struggle that I dealt with for a while, and then... But I told that man basically that. I said, I was like, hey man, your works don't define you. And that's all he's saying, is that he's not saying he doesn't know them. He's saying, hey, you didn't have to do all that stuff, man. And I know you, but I don't. I want to know you better. You know, I don't not know you at all, but I know this guy so much because he sits and has a conversation with me every day. You know, and he, you know, it's the same.
Yeah.
Like you work in IT. And so say there's somebody who always fixes your computer, right? But they do it remotely.
Like, yeah.
All the time. They do it.
I hate remotely. I hate it so much.
You know, they fix your computer remotely all the time. I just lost my train of thought. Crap. Your works. Okay. So so this person fixes your computer remotely all the time, right? And it's always fixed, always fixed, always fixed. But you never see that person, right? Yeah. And all of a sudden, you have to start fixing your, like, that person stops fixing your computer. And you have to start fixing your computer, but you have no idea how to fix it.
Yeah.
That's kind of like the way I look at it is, you can't work to make your life better and you can't work your way into heaven. So you have to have that remote IT guy that you've never seen before, Jesus, come in, who paid the ultimate price, a sacrifice, died on the cross for our sins, to fix you and guide you through that. Yeah, your works help, but you're not going to do those works are going to be in vain unless you have full faith in Jesus Christ.
Yeah. But I like that. That's neat.
I mean, that I don't know. There's a lot of people that verse tears up. And I look at it almost as the first time I understood that verse, I was like, you know, I was in tears because I made the realization that, like, holy cow, I really am saved. You know, like there's nothing I can't do, you know, or there's nothing I can do besides like turn away from Jesus that would send me to hell, you know, that would keep me from going into heaven. So as long as I have faith in Jesus, the works will come and I'll go to heaven, you know.
So that's it. What you just said was it. The one of the biggest things with Catholicism I had was, you know, the works and, you know, and your, they were still, it's so very rule based.
Yeah.
And you're, mm-hmm. you know, and Jesus strict. Came and he's like, okay, there's 613 laws that you've been learning that you've had to follow through Leviticus, through Exodus, through everything. Yep. And
forget about them.
Forget about them.
Yeah.
You're like, no, there's all of that comes down to one. Every yep. commandment, everything comes down to one.
Yep.
Love God as above all else and love your neighbor as I have loved you.
Yep.
And that's it. That's if you do that, love God above all else and love your neighbor as I have loved you, everything else flows through.
Exactly.
It doesn't matter how many good things you do or bad things you do, like the TV show The Good Place is the whole premise of that TV show is how many good things did you do in your life? Are you going to go to heaven or hell? And it's like, no, man, that's not it.
That's not how it works. Yeah, there's
that's
no
not
gauge.
How it works.
There's
yeah.
no gauge.
Yeah. You're never gonna do enough. You'll
exactly.
never be able to do enough
never.
To yep. to equal Jesus or to equal anything. And so that's why it's not the works. It's love your neighbor as Jesus loved you. Mm-hmm. And if you do that, then everything else falls into place.
Exactly.
And
yep.
you know,
well said.
It was I don't know what verse it was in, but Jesus is explaining to the apostles and to everybody. It might have been Sermon on the Mount. I forget, but he's saying that. Now I lost my train of thought. Dang. All right, never mind. It was you know, if he goes, if you follow or if you believe, nope, it's gone.
Let's see. Well, here's the sermon. We got...
No, I know.
Yeah. Murder, adultery, divorce, oaths, eye for eye.
No, it was I don't know. I forget what I was saying. But yeah, it's there are no works. You'll never be able to outwork. It's just love. And everything stems through love.
Yeah,
Oh, that's what it was.
God is
you'll,
love.
You'll know by this they'll know you're with me and you yeah. follow the way.
Yep.
And so that's what I try to do. Is
people,
try to put others first, try yep. to edify other people and build them up and be patient and to forgive and to just realize that everybody's coming from somewhere different and you don't know their story and you can't, like, I can't judge them. I can't, because even Paul in Corinthians says, like, you know, they're not a part of this church. You can't judge them. They're going to do what they're going to do. He's like, you can only judge and help people in your church mm-hmm. because they're professing the same belief that you believe. And so if they lose their way, yes, by all means.
Yeah, guide them
like,
back.
Guide
yeah.
them back. They're like, but if there's somebody out there sinning and doing stuff you don't want to, all you can do is say, hey, here's Jesus.
Yep,
do you,
exactly.
You know,
yep.
and just
hey,
try.
Jesus loves you.
But you can't.
Yep.
You can't. Go after them. And I think a lot of people miss that and lose that. And that's where you get all this.
The crusades and everything came
yeah,
out of that.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, that's mm-hmm. awful. That's
yeah.
so bad.
And that's an argument that my dad always made to my grandmother anytime she brought up the Catholic faith. And my dad was like, look at the Crusades, Mom. Look at the Crusades. And I was like, I mean, it's an example.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say it's a good or bad example.
Power over force. That was awful. That's something, you know, we could do a whole episode on that.
I definitely could. About, the Catholic faith and during medieval times and how they just, and they owned it. The Catholic faith during medieeval times is the same as Islam in the Middle Eastern states.
It was all law. And now there's no more law. It's grace.
Yeah.
It's, mm-hmm. it's
exactly.
Yeah.
Yep. There is something, I'd like to touch on, and that is fasting. So I did not understand fasting at all, like a month ago.
Okay.
So, I didn't understand it at all. And we started this thing at church. It was a 3-week program, and they were like, hey, fast during this. And I was like, okay, like, so just don't eat, like, what? And they're like, no, like, you don't have to not eat. That's a type of fasting. Excuse me. Oh, I got a lot. Yeah. Excuse me. So I wasn't really sure. So I started looking into it and what it is. And essentially what it is separating yourself from food or something else. And so that you can get closer to God.
Yeah.
And I didn't understand how that worked. I was like, how does that work? Like, how does me not eating get me closer to God? So I started, I looked up a couple of things about fasting in here, but before I get into some verses, so a couple of weeks ago, I was like, I'm going to try it. You know, I'm not feeling as spiritual as I have been. You know, I want to get closer to God, and I eat throughout the day. I'm a snacker. Like when I'm at work, I'll snack throughout the day. I really won't eat a big lunch, but I'll snack, you know? And, so this day I said, I'm just going to drink water and that's it. So I woke up and I didn't even think about it. I didn't think about fasting or anything. I just didn't do it. I just didn't eat, you know? And so I went to work and worked throughout the whole day. And I'm a drywaller. I do physical labor and it's tough work, but I wasn't hungry the whole day. I was thinking about God the entire day. Didn't even think about fasting. Totally forgot I was fasting. And then I got home and I was like, man, I am so hungry. Like all of a sudden. Forgot I was fasting.
Yeah.
And then I made the realization. I was like, oh, I haven't eaten anything today. And I was like, oh, man, I thought about fasting yesterday. And now I'm fasting today. And unintentionally. Yeah. And I was like, whoa, and I've been thinking about God all day. I was like, okay, well, maybe now it's time to break the fast. I went and I sat on the couch. And I was like, yeah, I'll make a sandwich or something. And before I even got up to get out of the couch, I fell asleep. And I woke up. Kristen, my wife, was all mad at me because it was like 10:30 at night. And I was like, whatever. I got up, I made a sandwich, I ate, and then I started thinking about it. And I was like, I had a snack last night at about 10 o'clock. And so I completed a full 24-hour fast, without really thinking about it. And I was going to get up and get something to eat, but then I fell asleep and woke up 30 minutes past my 24-hour time. So I was like, maybe that was God saying, hey, now you got to finish this fast, man, you know? And because of that, I got a lot closer to God. And I still really don't know how it works, but I've been reading Leviticus. Tough.
yeah, that's law. That's all law. Yeah,
it's talking about all these offerings and stuff like that. And one of the main things that really got to me in these is all these offerings, they talk about burning the burnt offerings and burning of the fat and an aroma that pleases the Lord.
Yeah.
And then I got to thinking, we don't make offerings anymore. You know, Jesus said, hey,
he was the offering. Yeah, he's like, the lamb that made the animals. Final offering. Yeah.
But then I started thinking like, but now we fast a lot more, you know, to be closer to God. And I was like, well, I think it's in Romans or Corinthians. One of the two, Paul, is it Paul says, don't you know, your body's a temple. And I read that. I was like, whoa, it all clicked. The burnt offering on the altar, burn the fat, an aroma pleasing to the Lord in Leviticus. Your body is a temple. When you fast, you're burning fat, an aroma that is pleasing to the Lord. I was like, whoa, that's cool.
That's neat.
I was like, wow, is that right? Maybe. Is it wrong? Maybe. I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, but
that's a cool correlation. Yeah.
And, you know, and like there's some of those things, those correlations that like kind of blow my mind. And I was like, maybe that's why you fast, because you're burning fat and not necessarily like the fat you're burning is like a physical aroma that's pleasing to the Lord, but like your faith. A fasting is an aroma that's pleasing to the Lord. You know, the Lord is like, hey, you know, you are abstaining from food because you love me and you want to be closer to me, you know? And so I think that goes a long way. And I don't know. And fasting, I mean, I don't know. I'm going to do it a lot more, you know? And, I heard another pastor, say something that was kind of compelling. I've been struggling with addiction for a long time, with nicotine, and I want to get rid of it. I want to stop. I've tried. It's tough.
I think the longest I went was like 2 weeks.
Yeah. And I mean, I went a long time overseas, but I was forced to, and I would get my hands on any nicotine I could. I would be chewing tobacco or whatever, you know? But I heard a pastor say, he said, hey, you want to give up cigarettes? You want to give up vaping? You want to give up smoking weed or whatever? He said, don't, you know, when you've tried to give it to the Lord and it doesn't work, he's like, I got something new for you to try. He said, give it away as a tithe. Tithe it to the Lord. Say, I'm going to essentially donate this addiction to you so I can be better for the church. I'm going to donate myself, my betterness to the church. And I took that. I was like, wow, that's a really good way of looking at it. I haven't done it yet. But
that's fascinating.
Yeah.
That's a really interesting way to think about it.
And the pastor, he was a guest pastor at our church. He came up on stage. This dude, big ponytail, big hippie, definitely a hippie. Like definitely like looks like your classic, your stereotypical hippie. Big gray ponytail, big gray beard, yeah. Glasses, comes up, tattooed head to toe. And I was like, this guy's going to preach to us? The guy could preach. He knew what he was doing. And I was like, that was another thing. And that was around the same time I was thinking about empathy and like, man, don't judge a book by its cover. Like, seriously, yeah. Like this dude is, and he was in his 50s and he was like, I haven't met a pastor very long. And I was like, whoa, you haven't met a pastor very long. And you're in your 50s. Like, you're never too old, you know?
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I mean, like,
There's a lot of science behind fasting too. I'm personally a very logical and research, like I really like to study things behind things. And that was, you know, part of my coming to faith. Tiffany and I watched, cause her pastor recommended this movie called, Case for Christ.
Very good movie. It's good and it's interesting. Yeah. I love, it's a very good movie.
It put the science in a lot of skepticisms I had, and it answered a lot of questions. And then I was like, okay, but it's a movie. But then I went back and read the 9 documents. Like there were 9 other secular individuals, doctors and journalists of that time, I guess, would be that were like, yeah, we saw Jesus walking around, and he died last week. So there was over 500 people, and there was a lot of, you know, outside of scripture corroborating mm-hmm. scripture.
Yep.
And so that really, really put the nail in the cross for me of
that's funny.
Of like, I need to dive into this more. But the science behind fasting, if you food fast for 72 hours or longer, your body starts to produce stem cells mm-hmm. that then start like healing and curing a bunch of stuff. It's cool. Wild. Cause, Kevin Smith, the director, one of my favorite directors, started doing that, and he was going on fast and one day, 2 day, and made it a week and one time without eating anything, just drinking water, you know?
Yep.
And he's like, you know, I used to, my eyesight got better and like, I feel better. And like, there's a lot of chronic pain and stuff that went away. And he's like, I went to the doctor and the doctor explained it. He's like, oh yeah. Like if you do that, your body starts producing these cells that can replicate into anything and start healing you. I was like, that's wild.
Huh?
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Wow. That's really cool. Yeah, so fasting is good for you spiritually and physically.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And Napoleon Hill, one of the greatest researchers and orators of success. He studied Andrew Carnegie and many successful people in the early 20th century and like wanted to figure out why they were successful and wrote a book, The 16 Laws to Success. And a lot of them have biblical like ideas and principles, you know, that they're a part of. It's kind of crazy to think about success. And one of them was fasting. And he said, and it's not only food fasting, like you said, it's the same as Lent when Jesus went for 40 days and didn't eat, didn't drink, like gave up everything and mm-hmm. denied yep. the devil and all yep. that. He goes, that's kind of a part of it. He's like, but there's, successful people that do this, and they'll fast from social media, or they fast from it wasn't social media back then, but
the similar
things.
You can fast from anything. Yeah.
Yeah. And that, like, just stepping away part of it makes you focus on other things, and you're able to bring it more to light and
you make a really good point. I think I'm gonna fast from work for the next month.
It's
fasting is very powerful. It really is, and I never understood the power of it until I tried it, and it's something you don't want to do. It's something you definitely don't want to do.
Oh, yeah. Like, you're like, it sucks.
And I would say definitely, like, the most powerful fast is definitely a food fast, for sure.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, you feel it the most. But, yeah, it's definitely something you don't want to do. You're like, oh, I'm not going to eat today.
And that's, yeah. Ooh. That's what Kevin said after the first, he was like, the first 48 hours was hell.
Yeah.
It was so hell. He was like, but after I got 2 days, it became easier and easier. And he's like, and then I just started feeling better and better.
Yep.
And I feel like that's the same thing with addictions, with anything. Like, that first 48 hours is hell.
Yep.
And you withdraw and you're every, but as you keep going, suddenly it's better. And you're like, why did I not do this before?
Exactly. Like, yeah, exactly. Yeah. I remember, excuse me, when we were overseas, we had, we were rationing our vapes, and my team leader and I, we had one left. So we put it in a box and we said, hey, this vape is reserved for before bed only. And I'm like, okay, dude, we wouldn't hit a vape. We'd hit the vape once a day, right? And I would lay in my rack. I'd take that vape and I'd lay on my back and I'd hit it. And I would get, like, the craziest buzz because my tolerance was so low for nicotine.
Yeah.
And then finally I got back in the States and I could vape again. And I was like, why am I still vaping? I was like, all I had to do is get back to the States and not buy one.
Yeah.
You know, and that would have been done deal, you know. But nope, I got back. I said, oh, I can buy a vape. I'm going to buy one. And here I am, you know. Yep. So.
And that's the biggest struggle. It's the same thing, like, you know, with having a beer every day or you know, you're smoking anything. It's hard. And it truly equates to that same separation of God and how hard it is to continually try to be your best version.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what Jesus wants, is at least, like, accept me, talk to me, I will help you through it.
Yeah.
Like, I'm, you know, and again,
he knows
you're never going to get perfect, but the fact that you're trying is the best.
Yeah. And, you know, that just, the thought that there was a perfect person on earth at one point blows my mind. Like, could you imagine somebody so perfect? Like, somebody being like, absolutely understanding, an ethical genius, morally perfect, you know, like, just the thought of somebody like that, you know, it's like somebody you just want to spend time with all the time. So it's like, why would you not want to spend time with Jesus?
He's gonna call you out.
Yeah,
I mean, he's gonna come in and flip tables and he gets angry. And a lot of his and a lot of the language, you know, when it, like, in some of the verses, it doesn't sound like it, but if you read it in the actual historical context and what was going on at that time and what it really meant to those people, they were like, holy crap, like, that's a really mean, like, he got mean there for a minute, and you're like, you know, well, so it's not.
When he called the Pharisees, he's like, you brood of vipers, and it's like, they got so offended.
Yeah.
And I was like, why were they so offended by this? And I looked it up, and it's like, vipers, when they're born, they spawn and they kill their mothers. And so he basically just, like, called them, like, hypocritical mother-eating losers. And they're like,
we're so desensitized from playing Halo and Call of Duty and listening to British children at 4 o'clock in the morning just talk smack at us. Like, but yeah, back then, it's funny that he is perfect, he is all knowing, but
he wasn't like super, like, at least in the scriptures, it's like Jesus was. He was definitely somebody that was like, hey, like, come talk to me. Like, you know, I want to hear. I want to talk to you. But he's also somebody that was like, dude, you're screwing up. You know, like, yo, fix yourself, boy.
Yeah.
You know, like, hello.
Yeah.
Or, like, especially with his apostles, like, you know, like, he got so worked up with his apostles because they didn't understand. Like, he told them he was going to die 3 times. And even by the third time, he told them that he was going to be crucified. They're like, oh, that's horrible. So anyway,
yeah,
you know, and like,
who's going to sit next to you in heaven, yeah, in your kingdom?
Exactly.
Is it going to be me? Is it you know?
Yeah.
Well, it's not going to be Judas. It's got to be no.
Yeah, exactly. It's not going to be Judas. It'll definitely be me. Yeah. No, it'll be me and my brother John. Yeah, of course, right? Yeah. Yeah. Well, then Jesus, obviously, he's like, dude, you have no idea what you're asking me right now.
Yeah.
He's like, you really want to be up there on that cross with me? Sure. Come on. You
yeah.
know, like.
Yeah.
Yeah, but. Yeah, and in the, like one thing that Jesus said too, it's that resonates, like you basically said it in different terms earlier, is Jesus says to them, he's like, can you drink from the cup that I'm going to drink from? No, we can't. We can't drink the cup he's going to drink from, because we can't really take everybody's sin away, and we can't be perfect like him.
Yeah.
You know? And like that's what you said earlier, you know, we can try, but we're not going to.
I just thought of it. One of the biggest points against the works we were talking earlier was, as Jesus is on the cross and the two thieves and the criminals, there we yep. go, the two other criminals that were next to him as well. The one, you know, says, you are the Christ, you yeah. are the Lord,
yep.
you know, I please take me with you, remember me when yeah. I'm gone. And he's like, you will be by my side.
Yep.
So this dude may have never done a good thing in his life, may have never worked at all,
yep.
but because he had the belief and put his belief in Jesus and asked Jesus to help him, Jesus is like, yeah.
Yeah, dude, come on up.
That's it.
Yep.
That wipes out your works, yep. you know, your mm-hmm. works theory completely.
Then you got a guy on the other side that goes, come on, son of man, take me down from this cross if you really are
yeah,
the son of man.
Yeah, questioning. Yeah. Yep, yeah.
And he goes, all right, I'm worried about this guy now, not you, you know?
Yeah.
Isn't that, yeah. Yep. That guy's definitely was eating his words after that.
Yeah. But that's that right there. And so
yep.
as long as you have the relationship and you put your faith in Christ,
mm-hmm.
it's
And that's essentially what most of Romans is like about when yeah. I was reading through it. It's basically like Paul saying like, yo, like you don't gotta be doing all this stuff, man. Like all you gotta do is have faith in Jesus and tell people like, hey, if you got faith in Christ and you're doing this stuff, you shouldn't be doing this stuff, you know, like it's bad, like certain bad things, you know. I should have brought my notebook with me. I don't know why I just thought about this, but so I've been doing like an independent Bible study, and there's in Genesis, like I'm not gonna be able to find it, but it took me off guard. So it's in Genesis, it's talking about the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah,
yeah,
and how the two angels go into Sodom and Lot takes them into their house for refuge, and it says all the young men and all the old men of the town came out and surrounded Lot's house and said, bring out those two men that you have in there with you so we can have sex with them.
Yeah.
And I'm listening to it. I was listening to it on an audiobook, and the guy was so monotone. And like, it was like, I was listening, you know, and it just didn't like
match the words.
Yeah. It didn't hit me at first. Cause it's just like, yeah, it like is bring out those two men in the house with you so we can have sex with them. And Lot said, and I was like, what? Wait, what? I was like, whoa, you know, that's literally in my notebook, because there's a lot of sex in Genesis. It doesn't openly say sex, but it's like, God's like, hey, go out and multiply, you know? So like literally in my notebook, it says lots of sex. But yeah, I just thought it was funny. I don't know why that popped in my mind, but
yeah. Yeah. Find me 100 men. Find me 50. Find me 10.
Yeah.
Dude, find me one person worth saving and I'll save this town.
Literally.
And you're like, nobody's going to repent. All right.
Yep.
And it's, I feel like that's a lot of today. That's, you know, that's how I used to be. There was no saving. There was no anything. And like, it's gotten, because of the internet, because everything's now, there's so much sin and bad that's like, right there, and you don't even realize because it's become normalized,
like,
and
TikTok,
that's why that's the other
that
reason it's so hard to repent, to really try to be better, that like, because it's so accessible. Yeah,
that's the main reason. I never had TikTok, but I had Instagram, which has a version of TikTok
it's
on
just
it.
All you know? Butts. It's
literally, and like my one buddy, he like was, so I got rid of social media after Smeegs, who's on the Basement Bars, Beers, and Babble show with you. Obviously, you know that. I'm telling it for them.
It's so dichotomous that we're doing this show when the other show is just pure awful hedonism. It's like we're getting all of our sin out publicly.
That's okay. But Oh, where was I going?
Sorry.
Yeah, no, it's okay.
Instagram. You gave up social media.
So when I was deployed, Smeegs texted me and he said, hey, I deleted all my social media. And I said, hey, whatever reason it was, you don't have to tell me. Good for you. You know, like that's good, you know? And I got home and I was like, I'm going to do the same thing. So I told myself when I got home from Syria, I was going to delete my social media. I was going to keep Facebook because I love my mama.
Yeah. And, yeah. I wish you would have kept that. It's so hard to, anyway.
Yeah, it is. It is. Yeah. I wish Meeks would have kept Facebook. Yeah. But so I kept Facebook and I realized that, and this is before I came to Christ, but TikTok, Instagram, all that stuff, you're scrolling and it's creating all these unrealistic expectations on life.
Yeah.
Like I was scrolling through things. It's like how to be a good dad, how to be a better husband, you know, how to be a better person. You know, you do these things to be a strong man, you know, and I'm like, why am I listening to these people who are literally dancing in front of a camera? No, like I'm done with that. So I stopped that. And like, then I caught myself occasionally scrolling on Facebook. So I stopped that. I still have Facebook, but I just don't go on it. But, and you're right. There's so much stuff that's so bad. You know, like people were mad about Elvis shaking his hips.
Yeah. Like we've come a long way.
I'm like, there's literally girls who you can see the wrinkles on their butthole when they're leaning over in front of the camera because they're wearing a thong and Instagram's like, nah, that's all right because it's covered. No, it's not. Like that's somebody's daughter.
Yeah. Like, I know it's and again, I don't want to get pious on it. I understand it's bad and it's real hard to avoid it.
I mean, there's OnlyFans. If people want to pay for it, let them pay for it. I don't care. But like, dude, come on, kids are on Instagram. You know, like kids are scrolling through Instagram. You don't want some 10-year-old kid seeing booty hole. You know, I mean, if they want to look at their own booty hole in the mirror, that's fine. But like,
I guess that, yeah, there you go. There's the, you know, if you're, you know, you're an adult, you can make your own decisions.
Yeah.
You're going to pay for it. Yeah. It shouldn't be.
Yeah. It should
publicly, I guess. I don't know. But then at the same time, like I say, our other show is public and it's awful. Yeah, we're terrible.
That's so true. But you also,
like, why I can't judge. That goes back to that Corinthians where they're not.
You have a disclaimer too, though, before your show. You know, like you literally have, hey, you shouldn't listen to us. So,
yeah. Yeah.
But I mean, and I guess there's some things say like, hey, this is mature content, you know? So I guess that is a thing. Like, because I remember scrolling through Instagram, like there'd be like, hey, this is gruesome content. Are you sure you want to watch it? I'm like, oh, fuck yeah, I want to watch that. You know?
But, yeah.
Yeah.
That's our default setting. Sin is the default setting, and it's hard to get away from it. And so that's what I say. Like, try your best. You know, everybody try. Like, we understand it's fun, it's funny, it's cool, and, you know, I like it, and that's the problem, is that I shouldn't, but...
Yeah, that's the worst part. And, you know, and the worst part about doing things like you shouldn't do, like pornography... Like when I came to Jesus, I was like, okay, well, I'm gonna try to stop watching porn, because I mean, overseas that was a common thing. You get a bunch of dudes away from their girlfriends and wives. I mean, everybody's choking the chicken, you know. But so I got home and I mean, I was addicted to porn and I stopped. And since then, it's been a year. I would say probably three times I've watched porn and I've stumbled and I have felt horrible every time afterwards, you know. And I think that's a lot of it, because you're not watching porn because it's the right thing to do. You're not watching porn because you love Jesus and you don't want to disappoint your father, you know. Like that's you don't do it because you're supposed to, you know, like your works.
Yeah,
you do it because you love Jesus. And that's mainly why I feel so bad about it afterwards.
I don't think I've ever thought of it that way. Is that, like, you shouldn't do these bad things because they're sin or whatever, but because you don't want to disappoint your father.
Exactly, yeah.
That right there just hit home harder than most things I've ever heard. Like, that, because, you know, you don't want to, that, it comes down to, I'm not angry, I'm disappointed.
Exactly.
And that sucks so bad. That's the worst thing you can hear from your dad.
I'm like, please, dude, I'd rather just yell at me.
Yeah, 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 really, yeah.
Just call me stupid.
Wow. I'm going to start framing a lot of things through that, is that I don't want to disappoint my father.
Exactly, yeah.
That's wild. Dude, that's crazy. Hey, cheers to that.
Yeah, cheers to that.
Damn, that was wild. I don't want to end, but like, I don't think we can get better than that. That was...
Yeah, that was... that's good. It's true, though. I mean, so true. You know? Like, think about all the things you do in life, and like... What would your dad be thinking if you did that or watching you do that? You know, what would your mom be thinking if they're watching you do that? You know, like somebody who really cares about you watching you do something that you probably shouldn't be doing, you know? It's like, oh, no, I'm not saying that, like, hey, you're not going to do these things now because of that mindset, but like, it makes you second guess.
You start to pay attention to that tension. Yeah. Like those decisions, if you feel that little bit of tension, you should pay attention to that tension.
Uh-huh.
Like,
exactly. Uh-huh. And I think I smoke weed and, occasionally I can tell, you know, I smoke it for the most part in the evening time when I'm relaxing or about to go to bed. And, I really don't smoke it for any medical purpose. I just kind of enjoy it and it doesn't do any harm. It doesn't affect my life or my family's life, but I can tell when I'm overindulging in it because I have that tension where I grab my dab pen and it go, and I have that thought like, you really don't need to hit that again. And I'm like, you know, you're right. You know? And like, I'm sure that's the father saying that, yo, hey, probably shouldn't do that because, you know, I don't want you to.
You know? Yeah.
But like, and that's the thing. It's like, what would my dad think if he was like, what, sitting here watching me just get cooked? You know, like, be like, dude, you're literally watching a Christian movie sitting here stoned as fuck. Like, why? What are you doing? You know?
Yeah.
But I also have that issue too. It's like, I won't even pay attention sometimes. Like, it'll be in the evening. I do most of my Bible study in the evening and I'll be sitting, like read my Bible and I'll just grab my dab pen and hit it. And then all of a sudden I'm really stoned reading my Bible and I'm like, oh, this isn't good. I probably shouldn't be doing this. And then I'm like, yeah, you know what? It's fine. But,
but it's that, yeah, it's that, it's again, it's that fine line of, and that's that free will. You know, the humanity's free will is we could be little follower worker bee robots like angels.
Yep.
That's literally what an angel is, just a follower worker bee person. So it's that's the part of the God's glory and grace is that you can do anything you want to do. Here's what you shouldn't do.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to stop you from doing it. I'm just going to let you know your life's probably going to be worse if you do these things. But hey, man, it's up to you.
Yeah.
And that fucks with me like
is it? Yeah, there's a list. There's a list
of names you can't name.
Yeah, Jesus Christ is one of them. So is King. Can't name somebody King. There's
interesting.
Only,
I never knew that was illegal. I figured it would be grossly frowned upon, but not illegal.
Yeah. So you, King, Queen, Jesus Christ, Santa Claus, Majesty, Adolf Hitler, Messiah, 1069. I don't know what that means. You can't name a kid 1069.
Yeah.
What's LII in Roman numerals? Can't name your kid that.
70? 50 LII. I'm not sure. I forget. L is 50. Two. Yeah. 52?
52. You can't name your kid 52. Can't name your kid Martian. Yeah. So I don't.
Weird.
Yep. Oh, I guess we're playing.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, yeah. That, man. That's a weird note to end on.
Band baby names?
Yeah, from holy cow. All right. Well, thank you. Thank you very much. This has been really cool. I'm excited to have more
interesting
conversations. Mm-hmm. And, you know, leave us a comment. We hope maybe this helped and brought some questions into your mind and that you can go out and get a Bible and read it, but more importantly, find somebody who understands the Bible and listen to them. We are trying our best to understand, but you know, if you find a church, make sure it's rooted in Scripture.
Correct.
Because there's a lot of churches out there that
are
saying a lot of stuff, but they're not actually reading Scripture and equating it to that. But
one more thing before I want to end, because I knew this helped me. This was my struggle starting. What kind of Bible do you read?
English Standard Version.
You read the English Standard Version. Why do you read the English Standard Version?
It is it's the most, as I understand it, the most direct translation from the original languages into English. And it's a little harder to read because some of the grammar isn't correct, but it's a straight translation.
Yeah, exactly what it was written in Hebrew. Yep. Mm-hmm. I read the New International Version, and I read it just because, kind of for the opposite reason that you read yours, because it's easier to read, you know, and I kind of, I understand it, and you know, that's when I started on, if you don't know what Bible to buy, honestly, it does not matter, just know that the red words are important.
Yeah. Yeah. We are idiots. We are theal idiots. thank you for hanging out with us this week. Thanks to the 989 Network. This will be a Patreon-only show. The first three episodes we're going to put out publicly to let you kind of guys know what we're doing. But yeah, if you want to support, go to patreon.com/989network. And you know, we want to ask Jesus to help us be humble, be patient, and be kind. God bless.
Thank you for joining us for another episode. Always stay positive, always look to the light, and always remember there is one love, and that is His. Peace be with you, and always with you.
This has been a production of the 989 Podcast Network.